Good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. It is great to be with you again this Sabbath. I want to thank everyone who has been a part of this service so far. Again, we have such an amazing group of people in our church. I do, before I want to start, just want to acknowledge some of the people who have been very supportive of us this week. Of course, for those who know, Maritza's grandfather, George Endo, passed away very peacefully on Monday night. And God has truly been leading through all of this. We are so grateful for the way that he led Liliana, which is Maritza's mum, George's daughter, to Queensland as an exemption to get through. And then, of course, on the day she arrived, she was allowed to go straight to the hospital and actually have a few hours with her father before he passed. So we are so grateful to God. And we are so grateful to the church community here in Wantirna. We know that George and Mary were very much a part of this church family even before we came. And so we want to thank you for those who have been so over the top with your love and support. We also want to just let you know that the funeral will be on Tuesday in the morning. If you want any more details, including the Zoom link, please ask myself and I will be able to give you that link privately. But anyway, we do need to continue our series, our Ten Commandments series, which has been amazing so far. And I'm going to be looking at the fifth commandment, which will be honor your father and your mother. And this is going to be very exciting. I'm very excited about this message, moving on from last week's very ambitious and great sermon that was taken about the Sabbath. So before we start, of course, want to invite the Holy Spirit here into this place. So I invite you to bow your heads as we pray to God. Loving Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much for the ability to be able to contact you just by kneeling or closing our eyes and just talking to you, Lord. We just want to pray that as I start this message about the importance of family, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be working through my voice and through the words that I speak, and that the message that goes to those who are watching and listening will be a message that is not from Pastor Dan, but Lord, that it is a message direct from heaven. And so I pray that you will anoint these words that I will be speaking. And Lord, we just want to again thank you for your love. Is our prayer in your precious name. Amen. The fifth commandment, honor thy mother and thy father. It's a very interesting commandment. In fact, if we look at how far we have gone so far in this Ten Commandments series, you'll realize that we have kind of hit the halfway point. Now, most people, when they think about the Ten Commandments, they think about the two tablets of stone and the first four commandments on the left and the last six commandments on the right. And rightly so, they have been split up into two main categories. The first four is all about God. It's all about how do we actually give praise to God in what we do and what we say and how we react, how we worship. The last half, or the second half, is all about how we interact with our fellow man, how we look after each other, what we should do while we're on this earth with each other. And you'll realize that it matches exactly the way that Jesus talks about the commandments when he said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second is like this, and that is to love others or love your neighbor as yourself. There we have encompassed the Ten Commandments split up into two. And so when we think about the fifth commandment, honor thy mother and father, we think automatically that goes into the category of treating your fellow man or your neighbor. But this is a very unique commandment because realistically, this command should be not in either one of those camps or in both of them at once. I like to call this commandment the transition commandment, the one that binds the left from the right. In fact, you may think that it's just about man, but it's equally about God as well and how God interacts with man. So this commandment is very unique, not only because it's a transition commandment, but also that it's the only commandment that has a promise. It's interesting when you read it, it says, honor thy mother and father. And then right after, it gives us a promise as to what is in store for us if we follow this command. No other commandment actually gives it. All the other commandments tell us what to do, but it never tells us what happens if we follow those commandments. I believe that it enhances the importance of the fifth commandment because it actually connects God, man, and a long and fruitful life. Something that people pay thousands of dollars for, happiness and long life. And here, written in stone, is maybe the secret to both of those things. But anyway, I don't want to keep talking about it. Let's read what it actually says in the Bible. Now, just letting you know, I am going to be reading a lot of Bible verses in this sermon, and I'm going to be reading the New Living Translation. So if you're reading along and you think it's a slightly different version, that's the translation I'm using, purely because I think it really gives the best understanding of what we're trying to talk about today. But without further ado, let's have a look at the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verses 12. And it starts off like this. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, simply speaking, you might look at that and say, well, that's an easy one to follow. Kids, be good to your parents and you'll live a good life. Now, that's the simple understanding of it, and there's truth to that one. But just like you have realized with all of the other commandments, there are layers of depth behind the simplicity of what we just read. And that's what I want to have a look at today. But one of the first layers that I want to uncover is actually something I'd like to set in stone before we get into the message itself. When I first did my Father's Day sermon just couple weeks ago, I learned something very quickly. There are a lot of people in this world, and especially in our church family, that have not had the best family experience. And it's more common than you think. Now, I have been blessed enough to have a good family, though broken. I have many steps and halves, and it's not a full biological nucleus family. But I believe that it was a blessing. But not everyone has had that experience. So I want to just set the standard now and maybe just say three statements before we move on, just so that we can set the tone here. Number one, you are not an accident. There's no such thing as someone who has accidentally been born. There are accidental parents. There are those who didn't mean to be parents, but it just happened for them. But there is no such thing as an accidental person. God planned you. He knows you. He knew you before you were born. In fact, the Bible says that he was there stitching you up, making you, creating you in the womb before you were even a thought. Now that tells me that people are important, right? Kids are important. Children are important. There's no such thing as an accidental person. Number two, this is a very important one. There are no perfect parents. Now, I'm learning this more and more every day, trying my best to be the best father to my child. And I realize as she grows up and more expectations are placed upon me as a father, I realize that I come short so many times. And that is so important for us to understand that no matter who you are, whether you are a parent right now, or you're just a child or someone younger, there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect people. And we need to understand that. That is a reminder for us. And this leads me to my third point. God is a perfect father. In other words, no matter what your family experience was, whether good or bad, there is always a perfect father waiting for you. In other words, you will never be alone. And so when we get into this topic, in fact, before we even do that, there's a verse that actually tells us how perfect God is in Psalms 27, verse 10. It reads this, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close." So as we go into the sermon, as we talk about families, I know that this can be a very touchy issue for some people, and rightly so. I want you to cling to the promise that God gives to us, that through all of this, he will be holding you tightly. He will be hugging you through this, as we talk about families. And families are so messy. They are so weird. They are so wonderful. They are so different. Everyone has a different family. Everyone has a different experience. I know that for me, I've had a very interesting family experience. I have a broken family, but a beautiful family. And I'm so blessed to have what I have. But families are not necessarily just biological. We have our church family. We have those in the community. We even have a civilization and a society. They all represent family structures, and they're so important to how we function in this world. It was funny, this guy called Rick Warren, he's a great pastor, and he mentions this idea of what parents are like. And he says that a parent is someone who has photos in place of where they would have had money. Now, it's interesting to think about that because that got me thinking, how much does a child actually cost? And parents, if you don't want to know this, block your ears. But in Australia, in 2013, there was a study done by NatSim, and they found that on average, a child from when they were born to when they leave the house costs around about $400,000. Now, I'm going to let that sink in just for a quick second. I know that in every parent's mind right now, you're probably thinking, what could I have bought for $400,000? I did a bit of research and you could buy a really nice Lamborghini. Don't think about it too much, right? Because children are very precious. Now, kids, this is very important for you. Every time a parent is annoying or you want to run away or you feel like you're not loved, remember this. Your parents decided to have you instead of a Lamborghini. That's important. May that be something that you keep in your heart, right? It's important to know that your parents chose you over $400,000. You are special, and you're definitely worth a lot more than that, right? But there's an importance to this idea of parents and families. And there are two parts to this commandment that I want to have a look at. The first part, which is the honoring part, I want to put to the side a little bit and just focus on the promise first. There are evidences in society that show us that this promise is very true. But what is the promise? Let's have a look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Follow with me. And again, have your Bibles in your hand. I know it's easy to sit back and watch it on the screen, but there's nothing better than having a Bible in your hand as we look through this message. And there's a lot of verses, so maybe have a highlighter as well. Ephesians 6, verses 2 to 3. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on this earth. Well, there you go. That's the promise. There are two things involved in this promise. Number one, things will go well for you. So you'll be happy. That's important. The second one, you will have a long life on the earth. So happiness and long life. Great promises. Now, can we see this in the world today? Well, there was a lot of statistics that were released by the US Justice Department. And it shows us what happens when we are not a part of a loving family. Let's have a look. Number one, if you are a part of a family that is fatherless, you have, or rather, 71% of high school dropouts are fatherless, and you have a 9 times more likely chance of being a high school dropout if you come from a fatherless home. Here's a big one. 90% of homeless people are from fatherless homes. You have a 32% chance, or rather 32 times more likely chance of running away from home if you come from a fatherless home. I was one of them too. 68% more likely to take drugs or alcohol. 300% more likely to commit violent crime and end up in prison. 85% of the youth in prison are made up of fatherless people. 20 times more likely. And there's a 92% higher divorce rate for daughters. And this is not just fatherless, this is single parent homes. 92% higher divorce rate in those homes. Now, these are stats that are very telling. And really, to be honest, really show you this promise where if you don't come from a good family and the honor and the family unit is not there, then the living the good life and the happiness really does fall away very quickly. So now we look at the promise and we know that the promise is true. Let's have a look at the commandment itself. Now, there are three stages of being a son and a daughter to a parent. You are a child, so there's childhood. You become an adolescent or a teenager, and then you become an adult in adulthood. So we're going to look at those three different stages because there are three different ways to honor your family depending on where you are in your stage. Now, being a child is a very special time. I absolutely love where Naomi is at the moment. She gives her lots of cuddles and kisses, and I kind of know when she gets to being a teenager, that's not going to happen. So I'm kind of getting as much as I can at the moment. But there is really one way of a child to give honor to their parents, and the word is obeying or obedience. To obey your parents. And there are two verses that I want to start off with that give us a clue into this honoring stage. Proverbs 13 verse 1 is our first verse. And it says this, "A wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to correction." The second one, Proverbs 6 verse 20, "My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction." Now, kids, I don't think we can get any more direct and clear as to what God wants for us when we are children. We need to obey our parents, and if that doesn't happen, we need to discipline. It's a very black and white stage. And unfortunately, when we look at the world around us, we can see the devil really attack this part of our lives. Authority is starting to be taken away from parents. You can see it from the state to just culture and society. Parents are not necessarily now looked towards as authority. I've even heard of some parenting books telling us that we need to be more like friends to our children. And unfortunately, as much as that sounds nice, it's not biblical. The biblical model for us as we are parents to our children are to discipline them in a way that is loving, so that they may be raised understanding good obedience to authority. Now, it's interesting to see here, Ellen White talks about it as well in the book Adventist Home, which is a book I'm reading right now. And let's just look at one of the quotes that she says. "Parents are entitled to a degree of love and respect which is due to no other person. Parents are very special in that regard, that they are meant to get love and respect that no one else in their life is supposed to get. God himself, who has placed upon them a responsibility for the souls committed to their charge, has ordained that during the early years of life, parents shall stand in the place of God to their children." Did you hear that, church? That parents are, in essence, a representative of God to them on earth. If you do not feel your shoulders getting a little bit heavier from that quote, then maybe parenting is not as serious as it should be for you, right? There are a few things here that we need to have a look at. The sense that we are supposed to, as parents, receive love and respect from them, right, in exchange for us being godly representative parents. Let's carry on. She keeps talking. "And he or she who rejects the rightful authority of his parents is rejecting the authority of God. The fifth commandment requires children not only to yield respect, submission, and, there's the word, obedience to their parents, but also to give them love and tenderness, to lighten their cares, to guard their reputation, and to succor and comfort them in old age." Now, that last part about looking after them in old age, we'll talk about that later in the adult stage. But for now, what we need to see here is that there is a requirement from the children to obey. You see that right there. And I remember my mum. She used to say things that scared me. This was one of them. She said, "Dan, you're not my son." And you can obviously see why that would scare me, right? But she said, "You're not my son because you're God's son. and God has graciously given you to me on a rental system, on a loan. And I am meant to look after you here on earth, but you are still God's child first and foremost. And that kind of, it touched me to the point where I now look at Naomi the same way, that she is on loan to me. And what it does is it tells me that all of these books, all of these parental forums, and if you are a parent and you've been online trying to figure out how to parent, it's a scary world. Because there are so many ways of parenting, because there are so many ways of being in a family. But if our child is on loan from God, then shouldn't we be going to God's handbook first to understand what it means to be a parent before we even look at all those worldly things? And this sets the base as to what we need to do. Children need to obey when they're kids, and if they don't, we need to discipline them. It's black and white. That's what God's handbook says. And if you have any more questions or doubts, listen to this one. Colossians 3 verse 20 simply says, "Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord." Now, after all of this, you may be thinking, what about the parents that are abusive? What about the parents who aren't necessarily responsible or good? What I would say is, hang on, the Bible talks about this too. In Ephesians 6, it actually talks in those first three verses, it kind of opens up this fifth commandment. It specifically says to obey your parents in the Lord. So it's very important that in this first stage of development, as we are seeking the obedience of our children, that we as parents are to be seeking God first. For they have their part in this contract. We also have our part too. Have a read in Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 11. And I'm sorry if I'm going very quickly, but there are a lot of verses that we need to get through. In Hebrews 12, have a read of the whole chapter. It comes after a very awesome chapter about people of faith. But it talks specifically here in verse 6 about discipline. It says this, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. The Bible even admits it. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who were trained in this way. Now, there's a man in psychology. He's called the father of psychology. His name's Sigmund Freud. And even he, a very strong atheist, said that one's view of their father forms and shapes their view of their God. You can see why it's so important for us to be aiming to be godly parents, right? It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm going to discipline my children and make them right. But if we're not disciplining our own hearts to God, if we are not trying our best to realize the importance that we are representatives of God as parents to our children, then we are not fulfilling our side of the bargain. And it explains it here even more in verse 9, same chapter, Hebrews 12. It says, "Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever?" The purpose of discipline is not just so that we can have easy children. But remember, I told you that the commandment is all about God and man. And God's side of this is the fact that the way that we obey our parents really shapes how we view and obey God. If we, and here in Hebrews 12 verse 9, it states the connection between the Father and God disciplining. If we do not know what loving discipline looks like from our own parents, how are we going to understand loving discipline from God? This is where it starts. It starts in the family. And so this is where the second phase is led to, right? We've got the children down packed, obedience. That's how you honor your parents. But what about the next stage, the fun stage, the stage we call adolescence or the teenage stage? Now, I put a picture here of a smiling girl because isn't that what teenagers do all the time, right? We're always smiling and laughing and happy. Look, I've been a teenager before, I understand, right? But this idea of adolescence, it's a very different stage of development. It's a time where we try to test boundaries and we want to push limits and we want to explore the world around us. We're closer to being an adult than we are a child at that stage. And we hear, you know, phrases like, why aren't you treating me like an adult, right? That's when you know your children are now teenagers. I remember when I was a teenager, I learned very quickly to be punctual because of my curfew. My curfew was a certain time, and so I was punctual for the wrong reasons. I wanted to make sure I got there just on the hour so that I wasn't going to be punished for being late, but I also didn't want to miss out on all the fun I could have before I got home. So that's the idea of being a teenager. But how do teenagers honor their family? Well, this one, again, is down to one word as well, and it's respect or respecting. There's a verse in Leviticus 19, verse 3, that gives us an idea of what it means. It says, each of you must show great respect for your mother and father. Now, what is respect? I mean, respect, the word, has kind of been watered down a little bit over the decades and very rapidly. This idea of respect in the Western world is quite foreign for a lot of families. I mean, I was raised in a Western world, but I was raised by a Filipino mother. And so I learned very quickly that you are meant to respect your parents and you are supposed to respect the elderly. In other words, the older somebody gets, the more respect and authority they should be given. In the Western world, it's not like that. It's switched. And we have given a lot of authority and praise and focus on the youth, which, again, they do need focus. But we've kind of left the older ones to kind of fend for themselves. And we've missed out on that respect side of things with them. And that is because we have lost it in the family a little bit. I mean, when I think about respect and rules and authority, I was glad that my mum showed that balance of love and respect. Now, respect is so important in the Bible that it's actually shown here that there are some punishments for lack of respect. Have a look at them and see what you think. They're in Exodus, so you know they're going to be really, really, really old and a long time ago. Exodus 21. This is the chapter just after the Ten Commandments. Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17. And it reads this, anyone who strikes father or mother must be put to death. Okay, a little bit harsh, but if you think that one is pretty bad, have a look at the next one. Anyone who dishonors their father and mother must be put to death. Well, there's not much wiggle room there, is there? I mean, on one hand, you should never ever hit your parents. That's just a given. But it's taking it to another extreme where it says you shouldn't dishonor them or you'll be put to death. Now, for all the parents who would like these texts framed, I can definitely print these out for you, put them in the foyer, and you can put them up on your wall at home if you like. I understand that is a bit extreme, but you kind of get the point that these texts really do show the importance of honor with the family and respect, right? And I know in my household when I was younger, I didn't have to know these verses or have these rules in my house to be kind of worried about disrespecting my family, because I learned very quickly that if I disrespected my family, my mum, she had this very great way of pulling my ear very slowly. she was a small lady. She couldn't smack very well, but that was her way. And in fact, I thought that was worse, but it was quite wise the way she did that. Now, I've learned respect and authority in my adult life now because of it. But only last week, I was walking around in Coles and I saw something that shocked me a little bit. I saw a young boy, he was probably about 5 or 6, and his mother. And they were walking up and down the different aisles, and the boy was grabbing things to throw at his mum. And at one point, he jumped on her back and tried to bring her down to the ground. Now, everyone gave them funny looks, but no one said a word, right? You don't do that. And I went around the aisles a few times pretending to be lost, but I wanted to see what the mum would do. And all she could do was say, "Son, please, can you stop?" And then she would laugh, and then she'd say, "Please stop." But he'd keep doing it. Now, I'm not trying to judge the mum because I don't know what the background is or what has caused this boy to get to this point. But if there is one way to dishonor your family, it's to not respect them, especially in public. And this is so important, especially in the adolescent stage, right? Because we're so, you know, got the hormones running through our body. We want to look for our partner, maybe eventually to get married. Everyone knows this truth. And let me remind it to you again. The way that you treat and respect your parents will be the same way that you will love and treat your partner. So if you are looking for love and you find somebody who seems to be very charming or beautiful, but they don't respect their family, you should run. Because it's very, very, time and time again, evidence shows that the respect you give your family, it really predicts the way that you're going to be with your own partner in your own life. So it kind of, you can see this promise being fulfilled right in front of our eyes about this long life and a fulfilled life, the happiness and the long life from respecting and honoring your family and how it connects to you in your life. We can see it right there in front of our very eyes. But then it leads us to the third stage, adulthood. We're not kids, we're not children, we're on our own, we can make our own decisions. In fact, a lot of parents may not like this stage because this is the part where your children don't necessarily need to obey you anymore. And that can be quite tough sometimes. But the adulthood stage is a very important stage. How do we honor our parents when we become adults? And there's one word for this: appreciation or appreciating. Now, let's turn to Proverbs 23, verse 22. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old." Now, when we look at this idea of honoring our family, when we turn into adults, this is when it becomes slightly more complicated because we live our own lives. A lot of the things that happened in our childhood come to fruition as we are adults. And we start to maybe blame our parents for a lot of the things that have happened to us. And maybe for some of them, rightly so. But from a biblical standpoint, this is very important. At no point in time are we allowed to despise our parents. In fact, when it comes to obedience, the Bible says that we must obey our parents as children. So there is an expiry date to obedience, but there is no expiry date to honor. And so what that means is that you have to honor your parents whomever they are. It doesn't matter what they have done. In fact, not only is there no expiry date, there is no prerequisite either. That means that even the worst of the worst parents, we must find a way to honor and appreciate them. And this can be hard. But here's the thing. We just look at God as an example. Jesus is on the cross and he says 7 different phrases before he dies. And do you know what one of them was? He says, "John, this is my mother." And he says, "Mary, mother, this is John." In other words, before he dies, he makes sure his mother is looked after and that she has protection, because that's our job. Have a look at this in 1 Timothy 5, verses 2 to 4. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and obviously in a church context, and it says, "Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as they would your own sisters." This is talking about the church context. "Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her." So The church is meant to look after the most disadvantaged and those who are alone. The church family is the one that looks after them. So this is where we find that you always have a family no matter who you are. But listen to this. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility, talking to the kids, is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. We have the same ending to this one where it pleases God that the children look after their parents even when they become adults. That is their sole responsibility. We see here that the spiritual family as a church is there to look after, but the first priority is for the family to look after their parents. In fact, when you read on in verse 8, it gets a little bit more serious. It says, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Now we're getting serious. The Bible is saying that we as Christians are called to look after our parents. It's not just a Western, Eastern cultural thing, but it's a biblical truth set in stone on the commandments that we look after our parents. And to be honest, and I might be talking to a few here, but having no contact with parents is the opposite of honoring them. Let me leave with you just an Ellen White quote again. In Adventist Home, it says, there is no period in life when children are excused from honoring their parents. This solemn obligation is binding upon every son and daughter and is one of the conditions to their prolonging their lives upon the land which the Lord will give the faithful. So there you have it, the fifth commandment. I told you there were more layers to it than we first saw. You can see that the commandment links the two parts of the Ten Commandments together. It brings God and man and puts the family at the center. We also know that society, from those stats from the Department of Justice, needs to have strong families. In fact, when you look at history, civilizations crumble on the backs of families that are destroyed. Families are so important. In fact, one of the things the Bible says is that one of the first signs of the end times will be families when they are destroyed. So here's my challenge, church family. We need to be different. We need to be biblical. We need to come back to our roots as families. And so I want to talk to two specific people today. If you are a son or a daughter, and that is everyone, you have been born of a parent. Even if you don't class your parents as loving or kind, you're still a son or a daughter. Here's my challenge for you. Honor them. Whatever way that is, honor them. If you have good parents, then this will be easy. But if your parents are not that great, if you've had a bad experience with family, then this becomes a lot harder for you. But the truth still remains that you need to honor them. Maybe honoring them will just be forgiving them for what they've done. That could be the honor that they need. Because remember, God wants this. It pleases him for us to do this. And if you are a parent, then this is for you. Let's not take this responsibility lightly. We are representatives of God to these people. And whether our kids are young, adolescents, or if they're grown up, that's okay. Doesn't matter. But we have the responsibility to be godly to them. Because remember, they are on loan from God to us. And God wants us to be responsible with his property, with his children. May that be a challenge for you as we enter or exit rather this message and end the Sabbath. Let me pray for everyone here. I know that this can be either an easy topic or a very challenging one for you, but let me just pray with you right now. Father in heaven, Lord, as I said, families are so different, so mixed. They're few and far between when it comes to really godly, biblical families. But Lord, I pray that Wantirna Church, the family here in Wantirna Church, may be different than the rest, that we may be lights on the hill for other people to look at, to be able to see your light shining through our lives. So I want to pray for the families represented here, for those who are hurting right now because they've heard this message, and maybe the Holy Spirit is pushing them to do something to honor their parents. Lord, I pray that you will be close to them and that they may be able to see this promise fulfilled of a long and happy and glorious life. So Lord, we lay everything down at your feet and we thank you for your example to us. It's our prayer in your precious name. Amen. God bless everyone. May you have a great Sabbath.